Your Kirkwood Shop offering Bernina and Janome sewing machines, GloversvilleSewingCenter.com. We're worth
good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this chilly Thursday morning, the 23rd of January. It'll be a high of 10 today, so that's pretty good. We're getting up there a little bit. Well, we'll keep warm this morning in the studio. Joining us for our panel discussion, WAMC's Alan Chartok and Daily Freeman publisher emeritus Ira Fussfeld, who will be in just a moment, and also University of Albany's Rosemary Mayo, who is actually in the studio with us as we speak. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning, but I'm frozen. I'm here, but my tongue is not moving. It's just solidly stuck. Ooh.
Well, we'll warm you up, and here they are. They're filing in for class.
Ready to go.
That's right, ready to go on a wide range of issues this morning. As always, we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And don't forget, you can also join us on Facebook or Twitter or go to our webpage and also file your complaint. I mean, send your comments there. roundtable at WAMC.org. They missed their introduction, so I'll do it quickly again. WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Hi, Joe.
Oh, here. When are you talking to the mic? There you go.
Hi, Joe.
There you go. And then Ira Fussfeld is here as well. Good morning, Ira.
Good morning. We just recorded the promos for the media project.
And how'd that go?
As is often the case, it was better than the program. So so make sure you tune in to the promos for the media project.
Thanks, Ira. I'm glad you liked working here.
So you're coming out on sort of a high note.
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful. Let's start off and talk about let's begin with Syria, because this is what Rosemary and I planned while you guys weren't here. And we'll begin there.
That's what happens when you show up late.
That's right. That's what happens. The article this morning in the New York Times, the Obama administration first learned last November about a harrowing trove of photographs that were said to document widespread torture and executions in Syrian prisons. When a State Department official viewed some of the images on a laptop belonging to an anti-government activist, a senior official said Wednesday, the United States did not act on the photos for the past 2 months, officials said, because it did not have possession of the digital files and could not establish their authenticity. Nevertheless, they said the administration believes the photos are genuine, basing that assessment in part on the meticulous way in which the bodies in the photos were numbered. The photographs, some of which were released this week on the eve of an international peace conference on Syria, have helped prompt the administration to heighten its demand that political prisoners be released and allow Red Cross inspectors access to the prisons in Syria.
And you will, of course, all remember weapons of mass destruction. Remember that, and how they were there as information given to us, but that they weren't there. And also, we have a pony in the game here. We want Assad gone. At least when I say we, the government of this country wants Assad gone. And the first thing that Kerry said when he talked at the meeting of the participants was Assad can't be here. And this information was provided by the rebels. So it leads to some people to say, hey, you have to be very careful with something like this.
Things are not going well in Switzerland right from the get-go. And it's because of the demand by the U.S. government that Assad has to go. That's their opening gambit. Nothing can proceed from there. And, of course, the government of Syria does not feel the same way at all. So what you may end up with are some lesser demands being taken care of, and humanitarian aid is one, release of prisoners is another. So these photos could play into that. Something lesser than ending the whole conflict.
The NPR, and just as what you said, of things are not going well in Switzerland.
Terrible.
The NPR coverage last night, I mean, it was hard not to just think of it as a complete, and I don't say this in any trivial sense, but a circus. I mean, because it was just people were yelling and screaming and going, and it was from the get-go.
Yeah.
It was really bad news.
UN officials said that they felt their rules on courtesy and diplomatic discourse had been violated right from the beginning. So it's not going well. I also, however, have a hard time feeling incredibly outraged about these photos of torture in a prison. Doesn't that sound familiar to us?
It does indeed.
Are we sure they're not Abu Ghraib photos? Come on. I don't like what's going on in Syria, but it is interesting that the U.S. gets to act as a judge here when it's guilty of some of the same behavior.
So what's our next step here?
I was just thinking about it as I was skimming the story, and I should try to make an analogy of it, but since the Holocaust, the rallying cry is never again, and we see any number of never again moments over the course of the last 5 or 6 decades. And so there's a part of me that wants to say, never again. We've got to go in there. We've got to get rid of this guy. We've got to not let this kind of thing happen. We've got to do everything that we can do to make life civilized for those people. And then there's a part of me in saying, damn it, this is such a nasty part of the world. They're fighting with each other forever. Can it ever get any better? And should we just sort of step aside and say, let them, the pox on both their houses?
That would be great if they were really fighting among themselves, but that's never the case in these situations. It was not the case in Bosnia. It is not the case in Syria. They're not fighting among themselves. Iran is injected into this. Russia is injected into this.
And dare we say the United States is injected into this.
And dare we say, exactly. And so this is sort of we're replaying the Cold War. In a hot way,
so is
far
our
from our
to
borders.
To continue or to step back?
That's why it's complicated, Ira, because I would say step out if I could be assured that Russia and Iran would also step out. You can't just leave them. 130,000 people dead. That's not counting anybody in a prison.
But have we done? So. I said this the other day, and I say it again. The central premise in our negotiations, as articulated by Kerry, is that we are on the side of the rebels. And my issue has always been, which rebels? The same rebels who turned on us after Afghanistan? The same rebels who are going to consider the United States the great Satan? What in the hell are we doing?
Again, that's a really simplistic answer. We have the same problem in Libya. We were against Gaddafi, in favor of whom? When you have years and years of restraint and oppression, you don't have an organized, altogether smart and responsive opposition. You have exactly what you have in Libya and in Syria, which is a lot of militia fighting among themselves.
About simplicity, pass. But I would wonder whether or not we're going to create the same kind of hell that we created the last time. And again, this is why, and I think you'll agree with this, Rosemary. This is why the release of the various WikiLeaks and everything else becomes very important. Because unless you know what the game is, how can the American people possibly make up their mind what they want their leaders to do?
I think the American people want action right away. Like we're talking, and I'm guilty of that right here today. Also, talks are not going well. They've been one day. Of course, there's grandstanding and a circus atmosphere on the first day. The only thing that really works that we can really rely on is long-term, dogged, never-ending diplomacy. Keep talking.
Yeah. But what are we doing? Do we know why we're doing it? There'll be people who tell you it's because of the oil. There'll be people who tell you it's because we.
Does Syria have significant oil? I keep hearing that.
No, I'm not only talking about Syria. In each of these cases where we intervene, it becomes important to know what the economic issues are. Usually the simplistic word before, and I certainly don't resent it. But
just keep harping on it.
Yeah,
but okay,
right.
you don't resent it.
but I do think there's a lot more going on than most of us understand.
I turned on TV this morning before I drove up here, and there were pictures of the Ukraine and protesters and fires and who knows what's going on there. For the last couple of weeks in particular, we're hearing about the terrorism and the potential terrorism threat as a result of Chechenian rebels as the Olympics approach. We've seen for years what's going on in Africa and Darfur and places like that. And I find myself saying we can't ignore them. We'd like to think that these things can be rectified, but can we be everywhere? The answer is I don't think we can be everywhere. And if we're not everywhere, do we pick and choose? And is it sort of like taking a balloon and squeezing the balloon from the middle and attacking the middle part and watch both the bottom and the top explode? All of which is to say the obvious. It's very complicated. I'm glad I'm not having to make the decisions, yep. But my inclination is let's be mindful of it. Let's try to solve it diplomatically, but let's try to stay out of it unless it's just absolutely impossible.
Well, I think the American people, I think I heard Rosemary say something different. I don't want to put words in her mouth, but, you know, they want us to do something. But the fact of the matter is...
Well, but I think you were talking about the speed with which...
And something could be get out and don't have anything to do with it. They want to see definitive action right away.
Well, but the last piece of definitive action they want are boots on the ground. American boots on the ground.
I agree. And that doesn't work. I mean, it didn't work in Afghanistan. It didn't work in Iraq. The last great hope was UN peacekeeping with real teeth, with real monetary support from the U.S. and the Western governments that can afford it. And we've blown that. You know, the U.N. has been under attack in this country for decades.
You spend a lot of time in Bosnia.
Bosnia.
The people in Bosnia, I take it it's a relatively stable place right now.
Relatively, the key word.
Yeah, and we involved ourselves during the Clinton administration, and seemed to have put a lid on the place. And now here it is, two decades later, and the lid still seems to be on. So, are you thinking about what we should do now? Do you have Bosnia as a model?
Bosnia and I have Rwanda, where a definitive decision was made. We're not going to have anything to do with it, and a million people died. It would have cost the U.S. so little money to save those lives.
But aren't there also African nations in which African peacekeeping forces, as opposed to American boots, have made a bigger difference?
Well, I think the jury's out on that. The Central African Republic was patrolled by African peacekeepers, and that's exploded too. Mm-hmm. So the world does not have a good record at peacekeeping.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with other issues of the day. We welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We welcome your thoughts. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from UMass Amherst Museum of Contemporary Art, presenting an exhibition by local artist Kim Carlino, featuring her own pieces in juxtaposition with selections from the museum's permanent collection. umass.edu/UMCA. Bow Wow Bathhouse Resort and Daycare, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. For over 7 years, providing 10 hours of daily indoor-outdoor play, professional grooming, and retail shop. TheBowWowBathHouse.com. And Monticello, licensed real estate broker, 352 State Street, Albany, New York, serving Capital Region home buyers and sellers, including Albany and Saratoga counties. MonticelloNYS.com.
Morning.
were we talking about Alan or Regis?
No. We're having a discussion during the break and about Regis Philbin, and I was Ira and I were bonding over our Regis stories, and Alan not a fan, and I just said, he did not like Regis, but I love Regis.
He did. Was he nasty to you in a diner in Great Barrington?
No.
Was that Katie Couric or Al Roker?
No. That was Al Roker.
Al Roker. Katie Couric you liked because
Stop
she...
that.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a few minutes before we go over to NPR News. An independent federal privacy watchdog has concluded that the National Security Agency's program to collect bulk phone call records has provided only minimal minimal benefits, and this is just picking up on what you were just talking about, Alan, so that's why I wanted to get to it, in counterterrorism efforts is illegal and should be shut down. The findings are laid out in a 238-page report scheduled for release today, obtained by the New York Times to represent the first major public statement by the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, which Congress made an independent agency in 2007 and only recently became fully operational.
So in a sentence, Joe, just so my attention gets specifically attached to your story, what's happened is this independent group has now come out and made critical remarks about the way things are being run, right?
Inject a significant new voice into the debate over surveillance, underscoring that issue was not settled by a high-profile speech by President Obama last week.
Well, okay. So now, assuming that they step in now, why now? Don't you see?
No.
Well, in the sense of, I mean, it takes some time to do the report, right? So they went, they did their work, and this is the product of that work.
Yeah, one wonders whether or not events can alter the way in which public bodies do their work. That's what I mean, Rosemary. So in other words, this seems to be gutsy, at least what I'm hearing now. And whether or not, I mean, Chris Christie, for example, who many people see as a bully, does his thing. Nobody gives him a hard time about anything. And then he gets caught on something and the gates open up. And one wonders whether public bodies develop,
You mean they feel safe to come out now and say the NSA, the program is bad?
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't care if they feel safe or the timing or anything. I think what they say is important. I hope someone will pay attention. I've never heard of the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board before, although it's existed since 2007.
Well, that was I had never heard of it either.
I've never heard. So it's
okay,
come out
okay,
now.
Me neither.
Important new voice. I mean, I think that's the opinion of the New York Times. I think they're on the right side, of course. You've heard me talk about how I think this program is ruinous to our civil liberties, and as this report also points out, has had no big benefit. It hasn't helped us stop very much in the way of counterterrorism. Let us end it. But I think, Alan, that there's a number of different studies and voices coming out of many of the judges. The federal judges have come out on both sides. It's okay. It's not okay. So.
I don't know a lot about the report. It's going to be released today, so I haven't really read the details about it. I think you guys may have been on this program. We're saying last week how, as much as there are many Americans were outraged at what Edward Snowden did, on the other hand, there is sort of a prevailing point of view that we thought it was going on. Who could be surprised about it? And beyond that, if this is going to make us safer, go ahead and tap my phone because we don't have.
I actually looked up some of those numbers after Alan talked about it and said just what you have summarized. And actually, that while that's true, before this became the big story that it is, many more people support it. I have to shut up.
No, that's all right. We have to
many more
supported
NSA than do now.
We'll pause there.
Remember the thought.
We'll come back, and then we'll let everyone just.
I'll remember it too.
Pause on that, and then we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Roundtable. You can reach us roundtable@wamc.org. Good morning, and welcome back to our Roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Romeo, Ira Fussfeld, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Always a delight to have you with us, so just simply write to us, roundtable@WAMC.org.
It's great to be here, Joe, and I know you were going to bring up the fact that that there's going to be a panel discussion at the Rockwell tonight on why we're such a divided country, with a whole bunch of Republicans and Democrats and others at 5:30 on Route 183 in Stockbridge. I'm done with the commercial.
And who's going to be speaking?
A whole bunch of different people, but I will certainly be on that. Thank you, guys. Thanks for putting up with me.
That was great because you said, of course, you know this. And I was like, I'm glad I missed that sheet. So I'm glad you had that information. That's cool. It's tonight at 5:30?
Yes, tonight at 5:30.
And so, like, if you went to, and that's at the Rockwell Museum?
The Rockwell Museum.
So that's nrm.org.
NRM.org. Boy, you know more than I do.
And you can find out more information about the event at 5:30. Rosemary, where are you going to be tonight? You got an event?
No, I have no event
right.
tonight.
When we last left, Rosemary was, we were talking about the NSA panel, and I just want you to go back a little bit and talking about the numbers and some of the research that you had talked about.
I was talking about how, you know, panels come out and say it's good, judges come out and say it's bad, but the American people seem very divided on the issue of whether NSA should be invading their privacy in order to keep them safe, and they're voting in favor
I think there's a prevailing wisdom that I'm not doing anything wrong, and if NSA spying is going to help prevent us from another terrorist attack,
let them do it. And Alan has also spoken about that, but I went back and looked at some of the polls. Since this story has broken and has become a huge story, people have moved. It is 50-50 now, but it was 30-70. Many more people were saying, invade my privacy because I needed to be safe before they found out exactly what NSA is doing. So I hope that means that people are listening to the nuances of this story.
What we don't know is the many potential attacks that apparently were thwarted, particularly in New York City, where the former police commissioner says...
Actually, Ira, that has been studied, and there's no indication that anything was thwarted.
So that would suggest that they were not telling
the
truth. Yeah. Well, I mean, there was one I heard this morning where the U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv was targeted.
I was going to raise that with you. Yeah.
And they thwarted it. I don't know how. We don't know where the intelligence came from. Maybe it was NSA. Maybe it was something else. But presumably, somebody was spying on somebody.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And if somebody's got a dirty bomb or something like that, the American people are appropriately concerned, you know, that this could be used.
Well, we just got a letter from somebody who said, don't forget that prior to Snowden's disclosures, we were constantly bombarded with reminders about how the NSA and DHS were protecting us against the terrorists.
Yeah, it's true. I think, though, that if you look at this closely, there's no evidence that this kind of massive invasion of U.S. citizen phone records and email has pointed up any sort of threat in Israel or elsewhere. We have other legitimate... I'm not opposed to intelligence by being opposed to this NSA program. They are two separate things. If the NSA sees a threat, you go to court, you get an order. The courts are very open to this sort of thing. But they have bypassed all of that.
Well, they still have the FISA court, right?
Yeah, which is another thing we could talk about needing reform. But yeah, they're bypassing
on both sides of this, to be honest with you, and everybody knows it. There's something very bothersome about, because where does it stop? At some point, you really do have 1984,
right?
And
it's a very fine balance.
Yeah, and are there things? I think Rosemary brings up a very good point. Are there things we could do to balance things out so that there are eyes on what the government is doing and how they're doing it and where it stops.
I mean, do you have to wiretap Angela Merkel to protect us against threats in Times Square? I don't think so.
Well, as Yogi Berra, the noted philosopher, might have said, you don't know what you don't know. So, for example, if the NSA...
That's why the NSA is doing everything.
I don't want to look like I'm being the defender of NSA, but just for the purpose of the discussion... If in fact the statistics that you show say that the NSA program has not thwarted...
There's no evidence. Right?
But the question is, are people who might be up to no good staying away from places where the NSA might be snooping on them because they know the NSA might be snooping
on
them?
To add on to that, Ira, maybe you'll never know what the NSA knows, because you can't.
Yeah.
Once you do that, you've
got yourself. And this is how we end up with high-paid spies playing computer games, a story we covered last month.
Yeah.
They're playing computer games because they think that, terrorists
might
be
there. Well, I think the bigger problem is, problem's the wrong word, we have such a distrust, generally speaking, in our government. And it's the government's fault because of a succession of things that governments have done to make us distrustful, that even if the government is on the side of the gods in the case of NSA and they're doing nothing but what they say they're trying to do, which is to protect Americans, many of us are not willing to believe that anymore. We might have believed it 50 years ago, but I don't know that we believe that anymore.
I think that this has been a cause of distrust since the founding of the Republic, or we wouldn't have the Fourth Amendment against illegal search and seizures, which is what this is.
Well, Brits did that. And that's why we
And the Obama administration is apparently doing it also.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't it interesting that each administration that comes in essentially continues to do what it didn't think was done right by the former administration?
Right.
Exactly. And what does that say, though?
Well, do we have the idea that the Bush administration had problems with the way the former administration had been doing spying, for example?
The way the Clinton administration had been?
The Clinton administration. Yes, exactly.
No,
so in other words, Ira, you have
just said... But that was 9/11. So 9/11 changed everything as far as...
It has, certainly has.
Yeah.
It certainly has. And we know it could happen.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with other stories. And we welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York. Sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche. QFCC.com. Proctors, presenting Broadway actress Kristen Chenoweth, Sunday, February 9th at 7 p.m. Proctors.org for tickets. And Springbrook, Oneonta, New York, supporting people of all ages with developmental disabilities, working in schools, in homes, and in communities across New York to help individuals achieve independence. SpringbrookNY.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Ira Fussfeld, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We are talking about a myriad of topics this morning. This is one of these stories I found in the Los Angeles Times, and quite frankly, I wasn't surprised that I saw it, that I didn't see it in other places. But a stir and a controversy taking place in the Washington, D.C. area in Virginia, where the U.S. Forest Service is considering to allow hydraulic fracturing, better known as fracking, for natural gas in George Washington National Forest in Virginia, which is stirring concern about risks to drinking water in the Washington, D.C. area. Of course, this is a story that we've heard much about in Pennsylvania and New York, specifically Marcellus Shale. So the headwaters of the Potomac River are now in question, and this is 4 million people depend on that water. And the question is, in this forest, do we hit another point when we start talking about doing this, and I think it is safe to say, whatever side you're on, controversial practice in a national forest?
Well, you know, I mean, in the end, I side with Natalie Merchant and the others who say you shouldn't do it till you know. Until you know what the consequences are going to be. We are beset with these Arctic clippers and other things that are coming down. People's bills are going up, doubling. And at the same time, we're hearing that our not only is it because we're using more, but because the price of this gas is going up. So there's a sort of a pressure that is being applied. And the question for me has always been, and I'm sorry if you don't like it, but is there a guiding hand here somewhere, a guiding hand to get us, to push us into this thing?
Well, one of the things that is interesting about this particular case is that this has obviously been an issue that has fractured communities. Excuse me, but you know,
sure.
I apologize for that pun. Not intentional, but certainly had an impact on communities across the country that have split these communities on one way or the other of how they feel about this issue. What makes this story especially relevant is twofold. One, that we're talking about national land. Two, we're talking about the watershed for a major city. Most of it has been in small towns and in small farming and very rural areas. Here, you're talking about the watershed for Washington, D.C., which again gets back to my original point of why haven't we heard about this before, which I think would be really a national story.
you know, there are very few sure things in life, and each day we take our lives in our own hands. We never know when we're going to get hit by a truck walking across Central Avenue. Even though air travel is very safe, there's always that possibility that the plane that you're on could crash. But when it comes to fracking and everything that I've read about fracking, unless they can be 100% sure that it is not going to impact the water supply, then I don't know how anybody could want to approve fracking. And if there may come a day when they can give that assurance, but when you're talking about tainting the water supply and all that implies for people who live in neighboring areas and who knows how far away with all the networks of streams, et cetera, this just seems to me to be an open and shut kind of a case. And it disappoints me that some of the politicians, particularly in this state,
particularly the president of the United States
And the governor, are letting this thing string along when the
But the president is declared for it.
The president has declared for it.
Absolutely.
Well, that may answer Joe's question about how it can show up in a national park.
I think it may.
Well, I think but there is also a great deal within a congressional community, not only in Virginia, but in Washington, D.C. This issue suddenly comes very close to home, and people who perhaps if they were not immediately impacted and were looking at this as an issue in Ohio or Pennsylvania or New York would not be as concerned are suddenly alarm bells are going off because you're talking about the 4 million people who use this river as a source of water. So if that becomes an issue, and if it is overturned, what does it say about their actions in other parts of the country? Like, it's okay for you to die there, but it's not okay for you.
Well, this goes on all the time.
Well, I know, absolutely.
This is nuclear power.
I
just got back from Tunisia, where a major environmental issue raised there is fracking. I had no idea this is a worldwide concern. And so there are two parts to this story that I'm now appreciating. One is our continued dependence on fossil fuel.
Right. Which, by the way, if I can just interject, is always raised as part of the picture. In other words, the pro-politicians are always saying we are very close to energy independence. You hear that phrase again and again.
I mean, you're talking about fracking in which could endanger water here and in Tunisia, which is a desert. Most of the country is a desert. Why? Because you want to get how many years? It isn't even that much of a supply. Even Marcellus, I know it has a vast store, but we are not talking about another 200 years of
fossil fuel. We're talking about a lot of gas.
Yeah, but enough to endanger our water supply?
Not to me.
That's right.
You
know, you want to tell me that a plane may crash tomorrow, and as tragic as it would be, 200 or 300 people would be killed. That's a one-time event. If they taint our water supply, who knows how long the impact is going to be.
And then the other thing that concerns me, and not just in our country but around the world, is the supply of drinking water.
Right.
It's getting more and more tenuous.
Absolutely.
As oceans rise. I mean, can we put some money into desalination and alternative energy?
Well, you have, the whole issue of what's going on this winter as we suffer through this unbelievable cold and in many cases a lot of snow out in the Southwest, the drought is back.
And
I go out there a couple of times a year. They've been through that before, but this is the rainy season in Los Angeles area. There is no rain. It hasn't been for a couple of months. And so they're now the governor, Jerry Brown, has put in the emergency announcement, conserve your water. It's not a reach to come to a drought circumstance.
And we're beginning to fight over resources. So the Colorado and who gets that water, which state gets it. So you can see that as things get tighter, we're going to have more of that.
And people around the world are living out of bottled water.
By the way, to get the people nuts who don't believe in global warming, we had a somewhat of a warm-up before this current bitter cold again, and people were saying, where's your global warming now? Fox did a lot of that. Mm-hmm. If you were following the Australian Open tennis tournament, it was 112 degrees for a week, at least a week down there.
Yeah.
So there was global warming down there.
Well, what was yesterday they said that in Atlanta, Georgia, it was 28 degrees, and in Sochi, where the Winter Olympics, it was 71 degrees.
Yeah, well, of course, that's a whole separate matter because Sochi, it's putting the Winter Olympics in Sochi.
Right.
It's like putting it in Palm Springs.
Well, and, to some extent, yes. Yeah. But it's still the site of the Winter Olympics.
People lose track of because global warming was unfortunately the name that became associated with this as opposed to climate change. And I believe the governor made reference to it again in the state of the in his budget proposal about how weather extremes are what we're facing. And that is why we're sitting here. You know, it was 2 degrees when I walked in here this morning.
Right.
So how does this I'm sorry for harping on this, but I don't understand how this doesn't become you have all of these pieces out there and it doesn't seem like they're being put together. They are by many environmental groups, they are by some people.
Because it's a big complicated story,
but
and it's much easier to write a story about, you know, Miley Cyrus.
Well, we
butt.
Should know Justin Bieber was arrested
was
this morning in Miami. So on
another day it won't
leave
the news.
DUI, right.
Yeah.
So, but here is the, you look at what happened in West Virginia. You have all of the 7,500 gallons of a chemical to treat coal spills into a river, and you affect 300,000 residents who can't drink water for over a week.
And where was the outrage? In other words, it was a story. It was a big story.
It was a big story.
But where was the real outrage
coming
out of
that? But this is, to me, it's the same. I don't understand why. To me, you draw the line and say, okay, but the chemicals that we're using to treat the coal or the chemicals that we're using here, these things can happen. And where is the concern of that? I'm not saying it cannot be done properly. What I am saying is that there are alarm bells that are going off, but nobody seems to be.
Okay, well, I want to connect all that, Joe, if you will, to what's happening in Ukraine. Where
do it.
People are out in the street and risking their lives, losing their lives as of yesterday, to protest their government's policy towards Russia, close ties with Russia, rather than the European Union, a political problem. People are marching in the street and dying. What good will it do them? Will it make a difference? And that's what I think people do not see a way to make a difference, a way to make their voices heard.
Well, it's
so if we march, if we march down in this in Albany against fracking, will it do any good?
He didn't mention it in the State of the State.
Did not mention it at all.
But
I mean,
your point is well taken, Rosemary. It doesn't happen. It would do good, and I think this governor puts his he is one of the great. Strategic chess players in politics. I don't always agree with him, that's for sure. But here is a guy who, for some reason, whether it's his poll taker, Drew Zambelli, or whoever it is, knew, even though he had supported fracking in the beginning, to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. So somehow, public opinion meant a lot to him on this one. And he still hasn't shown his hand. And I think he's no dope. He's afraid now, especially now, because with the de Blasio thing in New York, he's afraid of getting outflanked on the left.
Okay. I will take that point and then raise it. Here's another
question. Please,
all right. So that takes care of New York. But fracking continues in Pennsylvania, and now it's raising its ugly head in the Washington area.
Because there are different – I'll bet you they're not going to have that easy a time of it in Washington. Because you know, there's a different culture in each of these states.
So how do people then protest a global, or in this case, a national action that they don't like? I mean, you're going back to Vietnam. That was the last time, right? Isn't that the last time that you had an uprising?
But why Vietnam? Why was there this great moral outrage in Vietnam?
Because our sons were dying.
That's why, or because we were.
Okay, so now here we're talking.
And then you go out in the street and you say, not me. I'm not doing it.
We have a situation here where our water is endangered. You can't live without water.
Our water or the water in Washington, D.C.?
Uh-huh.
We're not
working together.
In the places where fracking is allowed, such as in Pennsylvania or other places, where are the people in those states to pro? I mean, it's got to start with protest in that jurisdiction before a national movement can build.
And in fact, aren't many Pennsylvanians actually in favor of the program? It's brought employment.
Yeah, well, that's they're willing to roll that dice.
Right. Final story. Let us talk about the Yankees. $155 million deal. With they're spending a lot of money. They didn't make the missed the playoffs. They did this happened in 2008, and then and now they missed the playoffs. And they say, all right, let's go out. We're going to spend a lot of money, $155 million with Masahiro Tanaka.
It's a study in American capitalism. It's that simple. I'll go back. I'm sure Ira, the former sports writer, has something to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big gamble for the Yankees, but it's a gamble that they had to take and they can afford to take. And the reason it's a gamble is because here's a guy who has not pitched one inning in this country. The size of the ball they use in Japan is different than the size of the ball, so we don't know how his pitches will be in this country.
And they failed before.
It is a gamble because although this guy is only 25 years old, he's thrown a huge number of innings for somebody that age, and pitchers are very fragile, and all it takes is for one bone chip in his valuable right arm, and the Yankees are out of luck.
Now, you're right, Ira, but who wants to talk? I don't want to talk about the guy. I want to talk about the fact that if the golden rule, those who have the gold rule, and if you have enough money, you can buy
it. Well, but it's a good point because in this particular instance, the Yankees were not alone in their bidding, and it was not just the super rich Yankees that bid an inordinate amount of money. Although the negotiations were private, it does not appear that the Yankees offered, if at all, much more than the others. I think the telling—
But it's New York.
It's New York.
And the guy gets endorsements.
Right. That may have— Plus, the Yankees have had success with a couple of Japanese players, Matsui predominantly, and he helped them sell Tanaka on the Yankees. Sports has just exploded in terms of the money. It's TV money.
We have a couple of seconds. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Isn't it true that there are other organized sports which put limits, make it fairer the way these people compete?
The baseball does have a salary cap, and the Yankees, who announced that they were going to try to remain inside of the salary cap, have changed their mind and are going to be above it. And as a result, they're going to have to pay fines. And that money goes to, in effect, the other teams.
But aren't there other sports that have a fairer way of doing it?
I don't know the answer. I guess football would be the one
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's necessarily fairer, right? I mean, there's still ways of getting around
it. Well, football would argue that it is, and witness the fact that every year you've got a couple of teams that are in the playoffs, and the next year they're 2-14,
right?
And vice versa. So
because they can't afford to buy.
Yeah.
To get the new people. Because they've beaten up the other people. We're out of time, but we welcome you to check in. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Thanks to all. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you. You guys will be back tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Well. Not me.
No, not you.
Okay.
We'll
see you in a couple of weeks.
Excellent. Ira, thank you very much. Post-fun drives. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.